We sip some beers, chat with East End Brewing founder Scott Smith, and help you plan your Valentine's Day weekend. That's next on this week's episode of 90.5 WESA's Social Club.
Cheers!
Hello and welcome to the Social Club for the weekend of Friday, the 10th of February. I'm Sarah Kovash, your host, a digital editor here at WESA. Or I guess, I don't know why I always say here, I'm so used to saying here at WESA, but we're not here at WESA.
What?
We're literally miles away.
I know. We're here with, of course, Josh Rollerson of the Pennsylvania Environmental Council, and we have Rachel Carlson of Yelp Pittsburgh.
Hello.
And then we have Scott. Scott, I don't know your last name.
My last name is Smith.
Scott.
The easiest name on the earth.
So if you just had guessed a name, you probably would have.
If that is your real name.
Yeah, it's... my luggage is empty, too. It's all
We have Scott of East End Brewing here, and we were at the tap room in the Strip District.
Which has been open for...
7 months now? 6 months? 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
How's that going down on the street?
Hitting our stride down here. It's definitely a wonderful part of the city, and we're happy to be a part of the Strip, but it is different than the way we are at the brewery. People drink beer at 10 o'clock in the morning in the Strip District.
And that's awesome.
Wait, you're open at 10?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
if
my
people
God.
Are knocking on the door, why not open it and let them in for a beer?
I've been missing out. All right, great. I'm going to start holding meetings here.
Yeah, I didn't have anything planned for tomorrow morning, so done.
Yeah. Saturday mornings are one of our biggest, busiest times of the whole week.
Oh, that's because people just wake up and
they
from
come
the
here,
suburbs, they're like, we're going to the Strip.
They go buy like one piece of cheese across the street, and then their shopping's done at Penn Mac, and they come in here and spend the day drinking.
It's impossible to come down here and not buy cheese. I have to go buy cheese.
That's okay. I accept that. Do they buy cheese and then eat it here with the beer?
That's acceptable. We are a BYOF establishment here.
Oh,
so,
nice.
We don't have the encumbrance of a kitchen of any sort. So, and why would we need to when we're in the Strip District?
Right.
Now there's so much incredible food.
We're regularly in the Strip. Do you have a favorite food place you go for lunch?
Of course, Gaucho is right around the corner here and fantastic. And actually, the line is less if you're not waiting for a table.
I was just going to say, do you know the times of day now to go when the line is less?
Yeah, as long as you're not looking for a table, you can sometimes
scoot in
get
and
ahead.
Scoot out.
Yeah. Thin Man Sandwich Shop around the corner. They are BYOB. And we are BYOF, so there's a perfect marriage there for trading.
That's love.
Trading dining
right
experiences.
There.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's you walk into any storefront here, and you're going to find awesome food. So it's easy to choose well.
Nice. Well, speaking of the B part of BYOB, we have a lovely display of beers here in front of us.
Yeah, I got you a spread of six different beers here we can sip on while we're I guess we'll have to choose one though, unless we can pass them around. I don't know how you want to do it.
I've
had them all, so you
I was
going to
say, and I think all of us
who doesn't have a contagious disease.
I was
disease
just
going right
to say
now?
All of us have either been sick.
Or
yeah, we don't want to contaminate
No, seriously,
Josh.
Is anybody not sick?
No, I'm sick.
I'm sick. All right, we're cool.
All right, great.
Just share the germs.
Share the microphones. Great. Share the beers.
Can't
Every
get
time
any worse.
I get a cold, I'm like, I'm cool. I can't get another one. I already got one.
You're
it's
inoculated.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, let's pass them down the line then. What do we got?
So the first pour here is our Big Hop IPA. This is our flagship beer and the beer we started with 12 years ago. And in fact, big news, last week, cans of Big Hop just went into full distribution.
I
so
saw
you
that
should
on
be
your
able
Instagram.
To find, cans of Big Hop at your local good beer store. You don't actually have to come to us to get some to take home nowadays. So I wanted to pour some of that so I could mostly talk about Big Hop. This is our cider. It's called a Long Came a Cider.
I didn't know you had a cider.
We keep a cider on tap probably 9 months of the year.
I had no clue.
We brew it with our house brewer's yeast in our tanks with all of our other beers, and there's some restrictions on what we can distribute. We're allowed to make cider in the state of Pennsylvania, but the feds don't let us label it, so it's kind of a weird gray area, but we're able to sell it in-house. But all Pennsylvania apples, and it's just really apple juice.
I embrace the gray areas.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's like I noticed all the other brewers in town, they like make a point of bringing in Arsenal or something. Like they want to have some kind of cider on tap, but nobody else seems to have their own that I've noticed.
Yeah, I think a couple other places have done it from time to time. And I mean, Arsenal cider is pretty different. Here, jump in and grab some of these. Arsenal is pretty different from our cider. Theirs is higher alcohol and more wine-like. Ours probably is more in the beer camp than in the wine camp. But yeah, all PA apples.
That's
very light in color.
It's not.
Is it a mix?
I feel like it's not quite as dry as the Arsenal ones.
Yeah, it depends on what we get in terms of the mix of apples. We get a we ask specifically for tart apples, because if you get sweet apples, all the sweetness ferments out and you don't have any flavor left.
Oh, that's what I was gonna say. Like the I know my favorite apple is Honeycrisp.
Yeah, yeah, and the sweetness of it just, but that would just turn into more alcohol in the cider, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it doesn't leave a whole lot of flavor behind.
I know it's not red apples. We do not want to get Sarah started on red apples.
Wow. I didn't realize we were getting into a sensitive area.
Controversy.
Wow.
They're so mealy and waxy.
Oh, like Golden Delicious? Or, I'm sorry, Red Delicious apples is the oxymoron of apples.
And they die?
They're not delicious.
I'm with you there. So the next beer is our Black Hop IPA. So this is the name of this beer style is a bit of a bit controversial, because IPA, the P stands for pale. So technically this is a Cascadian dark ale, but Black IPA is a nice handy.
But it's hoppy.
It's hoppy.
Okay.
But it's also roasty. Here, send it around the horn and see where we are.
Sometimes I feel like when I'm tasting beers, I need to do it kind of like wine. So I have to smell it.
You go in a little.
Swirl it.
Go in gently, and then I would.
And wash it down with pizza.
I can't really determine if I like a beer until I'm like at the bottom of a pint. That's when I can really form an opinion about it.
Do you drink fast though? Because then it gets kind of warm by that.
No, I just, the warmer it is, the more the flavor comes really out. Good. There's nothing to hide behind. For when beer is cold, you can't taste it. In spite of what the guys at Coors say, cold really isn't a flavor. It's actually the opposite of a flavor. And it deadens your taste buds. So the beer at its most, maybe it's not the way I would like to drink it, but that's when there's nothing to hide behind, is when it's warm and in the bottom of the glass.
And I have a question too. So with the new six-pack rules at the distributors, does that mean that you will be carried at more distributors, or it's going to be easier now?
Yeah, we're actually packaging the Big Hop cans in six-packs, like, you know, 4 six-packs to a tray. So we just happened to be ready to roll with the law change. Yeah, it wasn't a big, like, contrived effort on our part. We just sort of Mr. Magoo'd our way into it, as we do so many things. You have 6-packs, and now they can sell them that way. Awesome.
That's amazing. Do you get, like, a really big thrill if you go to the beer distributor now and you see it?
I haven't. They just shipped a week ago to the wholesaler, so that I haven't seen them yet in the wild. I've seen some pictures on social media, but I haven't, like, you know, had a spotting. And we just heard today that Giant Eagle's picking us up. So,
Giant Eagle.
It'll be down in Giant Eagle. Yeah, get your big hop down there, Giant Eagle. Yeah.
So, are you all over the state, the region, or just kind of Pittsburgh right now?
We are. Our distribution area hasn't changed since the day we opened our doors. So, we are really just like the western third of PA.
Can you find it in Erie?
There's a little bit that trickles its way into Erie, depending upon who's getting what. We've got some beer that makes it out as far east as, like, Bedford, PA.
Okay. I was going to say, I know some people in Erie. I mean, I know my dad and then some other people. So.
Yeah, your dad and some people who are interested in some beer.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
It's a limited amount that gets out there, and we may change that this coming year. We actually have capacity to send more beer out, but we're a little scared about what the Big Hop demand will do in cans now. So we're going slow and steady. We only sent them 2 pallets of beer, and we're going to see how long that lasts. And we're doing it all through a mobile canning operation. So there's a couple of steps involved to produce more. We can't just open the faucet and the cans come flying out the back of the building. So.
And I know you've said a while back too that it was a never, and then it was a you know, maybe, but we don't know kind of thing, too.
Yeah, the long list of things I said I'd never do.
Okay. Sorry, I'm not trying to call you.
Yeah, no. I'm full of contradictions. It's I'm absolutely never going to do that today, but maybe tomorrow.
This is like the door open for a good opportunity.
Right? Yeah, there's no shortage of new ways to make your life more complicated.
So, I mean, what changed? Is it the advent of canning? Is that part of it?
Mobile canning has made it a lot easier. There's a
Can
lot.
Can you explain mobile canning?
What yeah. So we don't own a physical canning line. So there are a couple of companies that offer a service where they'll come into your brewery. They usually have a trailer that they pull with a pickup truck, and they open up the trailer, and there's a canning line literally on wheels that they wheel into your place, hook up to your tank of freshly brewed beer that's ready to go, fully carbonated and all set. They hook up to a CO2 line. And plug the machine into the wall, and
like when the dog groomer comes to
the races
comes
they
your
go.
House.
What's that?
Like the mobile dog groomer comes to your house.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. Is that like primarily for like home brewers who don't have access to that kind of thing, and
well,
then also like?
That'd be a pretty large-scale home brewer. Probably.
Yeah, that'd
guess,
be.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we do like.
Obviously, you're bigger than a home
when we do. So. Well, when we do a canning run, and our canning run is probably on the small side. It's a 20 barrel batch, so 40 kegs worth, or just shy of 300 cases at a clip. So. We're thinking that we're going to have to increase our run size, maybe double it, do 40 barrels,
and
80 kegs worth at a clip.
Still doing that out of East End too. Lot of it.
Yeah. We're everything's being happening in the space that we use for events like Crafts and Drafts,
right.
And other that whole barrel room space that we have. That room gets so much activity. We've had like our Good Wood Fest there just this past month. Oh, it was fantastic. We had anytime we can have 200 beer loving friends over for a few pints is all right by me.
I was just there the weekend before for my friend's birthday party.
Oh, nice.
Lindsay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And in the front of the house, we've been getting a lot of that kind of activity. People want to come out and do a birthday party or an office party.
That's
like
a good
that.
One.
And
and then do you make your way around to other breweries? So like my first thought is with Mindful Brewing just opening, do you put it on your list and say, okay, I got to make it out there?
I and that list is getting longer than
I can
deplete. Places are opening faster than I can. That I can get to them. I actually drive past Mindful a couple of days a week, taking my daughter to school.
It's always packed.
So yeah. Well, I've been driving by, watching the construction happen. For
oh
the last,
right, yeah.
That's the
bit,
one that just
but,
opened, right? That we were talking about.
Yeah, on 88.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's so many places to get to. And frankly, we have draft accounts, people that are buying our beer that I've not been to.
Yeah,
and so they probably should be at the top of the list is to get out to you know shake hands with the people that are supporting us and thank
kiss
them.
Baby,
the,
shake
yeah,
hands,
yeah, one
drink
of the other,
beers,
shake babies, kiss hands.
Oh no,
yeah. So it's the beer scene in Pittsburgh is going gangbusters. So it's hard to stay current with what's going on now. It's kind of my job, and it's still hard to do.
I know. I was just trying to think of how many there were the other day, and I went to count and I lost count.
Yeah, we tried to do that on social media recently, and everybody kept adding to a list. We couldn't And then there's all the ones that are in planning and are about to land or about to drop.
I set out to take my sister and her boyfriend on a beer tour of Pittsburgh when they were here over the holidays. It was very
nice.
Ambitious, and it was a lot of fun, but we just barely made a dent.
Yeah, like, hitting more than three really takes, like, you know, you have to have a very fast transaction
right.
at a place. Yeah. It has to be, you know, and that's not the way I'd like to go and spend
pretty
an hour.
Pretty high tolerance required.
Right.
Oh my gosh,
and you need somebody
yeah.
to drive as well.
You'd have to prep for that for weeks, months even.
I don't have the planning skills.
So speaking of high tolerance, so here's a beer that you can, this is, it looks like a Pilsner maybe with a little bit of haze on it. This is our bigger hop, double IPA. We just reformulated that. for this past release. 9.5% alcohol, all Pilsner malt, and we actually use a little bit of cane sugar to lighten the body on it. Double dry hopped, hops on top of hops on top of hops. Basically just get the malt completely out of the way to let the hops shine through.
Sounds like a rap song.
It does.
Are you guys going to do a triple hop sometime?
Biggest hop, maybe. That'd be the end then, right? We can't go. It's all
superlatives. It's all downhill from there.
Yeah. So now,
what
are you guys?
Are you triple dog dare you to triple hop?
Wow, I feel like I should be like sticking my tongue on a pole or something.
A really frosty beer glass. Yeah.
I just was thinking about the rundown of names now in my head of what you could call it, like bunny hop or. Maybe not. Okay. Never mind, you guys.
Keep your day job there.
Okay.
So here, have at it. Now, are you a hoppy beer person,
no,
Rachel?
That's the thing. I know. I'm
liking them a lot more than I used to.
I'll taste them, and I still don't get that excitement out of the hoppy as I do.
Yeah. And the first sip is bracing because it's a lot. There's a lot there.
Kicks you in the butt.
Yeah. I realize I'm out of sync with like the trends in beer. When everybody was demanding like hops, like imperial IPAs and everything.
Right, there was an arms race for alcohol.
Right, well, and there was a shortage in there too somewhere.
There was a hop shortage for a few years on certain varieties, and now we have to contract hops. I have to predict futures what our hops needs will be for the next 3 to 5 years. And then we have to come up with an estimate of that, commit to that at a purchase price from a supplier, and then hope that the price doesn't come down because we've committed.
It's like
playing the stock market. I'm like, I just wanted to make some beer. I didn't want to, you know, I just wanted to buy the ingredients. I didn't want to like have to have a PhD in futures.
Wasn't Storgals doing hops or growing their own hops?
Yeah, we actually used some of their hops this year in our Big Hop Harvest Ale. Or wet hop beer. So, and they just got a hop pelletizer, which is like the thing that
sounds scary and fun.
Yeah.
Well, it's so when you pick hops, they either have to be used right away as in a wet hop beer, or they have to go to cold storage. And they can't go to cold storage just as a wet hop. They have to be dried, and then they get pelletized and pressed into this material that looks like rabbit food. And then they're shelf stable, and they're vacuum packed in a bag and such. So, but the piece of equipment that's used to pelletize costs like 6 digits to buy this, because it has to be nitrogen cooled, and it's got all these fancy features on it to make sure that the hops are in good shape.
So you also need a science degree now.
So these small growers really can't afford, you know, hey, a guy who's got an acre of hops in his garden. He's selling fruit at the farm stand that wants to be a hop grower, he really can't grow hops because he can't handle them the way he needs to. But now there's a pelletizer in town, so people can get time on that.
Well, and there's like a whole chemical analysis thing that has to happen too, right? So you know what the
IBUs. Yeah, what the alpha acids are and what the whole makeup of the hops are. So
sounds like a lot more than just drinking beer.
Yeah, the drinking beer is the fun part. Okay. But everything else has to work. We'll worry about that stuff. You guys just worry about that.
I'm glad you're doing the hard part for us.
Yeah.
I know. I think my own business would be great. And then I hear people who actually do it talk about it. I'm like, oh my God, this is so hard.
Oh,
no. I cannot do this.
Never.
It can be exhausting. It can really be exhausting. But at least there's beer to
cut the edge.
Yeah. If I was, making paint or something, it wouldn't be like, boy, can't wait to take a gallon of this home. You know?
Yeah,
wouldn't be quite as thrilling.
Wouldn't
maybe,
taste nearly as good.
Yeah.
And then you have one more.
So here's another. We jumped past this one. So this is this beer is called Loaf, and it is the beer that we did with 412 Food Rescue.
Yeah.
So you're familiar with.
Yeah, love them.
The project they're working on.
They have an app now too.
They have a full on app to match make their
donations,
food supply side with their food demand side, and so this was a beer that we did as a. In conjunction with them, and also as a fundraiser for them. So it's got about 200 loaves of stale bread from Five Points Bakery on Wilkins Avenue in Squirrel Hill, which happens to be my go-to bakery.
It has a very highly rated Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, and after the double IPA, that'll be an easy sipper. It's like a gentle pale ale. It's got a bit of a bready nose to it.
I was going to say, yeah.
I want to put a pat of butter on it.
Just pour it in the toaster for a little bit and warm it. But yeah, that's a real a really nice, easy drinker, and we've got a bit of that left. It's starting to wind down now. But the glasses don't fit. We got a different lot of glasses, and they're too big for our taster boards. Isn't that aggravating?
You have to drink all six at once.
Yeah, too many.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
What's the ABV on that guy?
I think that one is, I want to say, like 4.5. I actually have gotten to a point where I can't keep all of my beer stats in my head anymore, so I have to revert to our mobile app. 5.5.
Wait, you have a mobile app?
Of course we have a mobile app.
What do you do on said mobile app?
The mobile app gives you a list of the beers that are on tap at each of our locations.
Wow.
As well as all sorts of nerdy stats like the hops that go into it.
Josh, you're speaking Josh's language.
The ABV and other details. So it's just m.eastendbrewing.com. When it comes up, it shows the two locations. It has our hours and addresses and everything too. So
that's very cool.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I could.
It's basically just a mini website.
I feel like I could use your app to find this out now. But do you guys still make the strawberry beer?
We do. Strawberry rye. We like to butcher the English language as much as we can in the naming of the beers. But yeah, we do. We just have to wait till strawberries are in season.
Oh, May.
That'll
so,
do.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Maybe a little early. I think strawberries are like the first fruit that comes.
I had a little job at Eaton Park where pie of the month was strawberry in May. So okay. I always remember strawberry season starts in May.
Your
seasonal pie clock. Yes.
My pie clock. Oreo cream season is in November.
When is that when the Oreo harvest comes in?
Yes.
That's
where, and then we have one more, right?
We do have one more. I figured I'd go big on the last one here. That is our Snowmelt Winter Ale, but we have aged that in a bourbon barrel to give you something for the whiskey fans.
Collaborate a lot with Wiggle too, right?
Yeah, we actually have done. We've got a beer on tap at the brewery right now that is our Monkey Boy Hefeweizen that's aged in a gin barrel from Wiggle, which is a really interesting pairing of flavors. You know, the gin flavors are much more subtle than whiskey. It's just more botanical and things. So we didn't want to put something big and dark into it. We figured we'd go with something light, so we chose our Hefeweizen, and it's a really neat flavor.
And you've done Snowmelt for years, right?
Yeah.
But this is the first time.
First time we put it into oak. Yeah.
You can definitely tell the difference.
Yeah. It has an earthier taste.
Yeah, and that one's almost gone. We've just got a couple of kegs of that left, so there may. Maybe some by the time we go to air on this, so that'll be the
you get
calls when that happens.
Yeah. Angry pitchforks.
That
tweets.
Just makes it taste better when you can't get what you want.
It is very true.
Yeah.
And
scarcity equals interest.
I know you do a ton of events too at the brewery.
Yeah.
So do you have any upcoming events that you can chat about?
We've got a whole bunch of stuff happening in February. So in addition to our we do a Grains to Glass brewery tour like every other Saturday. I think the next couple are sold out or close to sold out. Everything from our Beer Belly yoga class.
Love it.
Which is on February 12th, as we like to say, come for a stretch, namaste for a beer.
I love puns.
We do our pub quiz the first and third Wednesdays of every month at the brewery. And then the second and fourth Thursdays, we do the pub quiz here in the Strip District.
Okay.
We just started doing that.
I was just going to say, do you do stuff down here too?
Yeah, and that's it's a free game to play. You can win some beer, you can win some beer stuff, or you can just hang out and get answers wrong and have some beers.
I'm not usually a competitive game player, but when it comes to like pub quiz, I'm all in.
Especially playing for beer.
Yeah. And I hear there's a bit of a lecture series as well, right?
Yeah, we've been doing Between Two Fermenters, which is a bad riff on an existing comedy show.
Do anything that isn't some sort of a pun or verbal.
Yeah, that's nothing. You know, everything's always been traveled territory before. Originally, the name came from we've got these two fermenters sitting in at the brew pub at the brewery, and it was a play on literally sitting in between these two tanks, and also two fermenters, like the panel of people discussing would be two brewers, so two people who ferment.
Yeah, okay.
And so part of that's lost because we've been doing it in the strip instead of at the brewery, so we don't have.
We thought about
like a drawing of fermenter on the wall with a charcoal pencil or something, just to make it literal.
Just keep them in the dark.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Nobody misses it.
The magic is behind the wall.
That's sure. It all happens back there.
Yeah.
So we usually have two brewers and then a wild card person, someone from the arts community or a small business person, just talking about the intersection of beer and. Fill in the blank. So it's a fun, lively discussion. We bake the price of a beer or two into the ticket, and it's entertaining. There's a Q&A session at the end. So
I was shocked, to be honest, with people's attention spans in the sense where I thought we were going to go for maybe 40, 45 minutes when we did it the first time, and it was 2 hours, and people were completely engaged the whole time.
Yeah, it's... people have a lot of stories to tell, and we had some really great storytellers on the first panel. Dan from Commonwealth Press really has lots of stories, some of which we probably don't want to mention on the air.
They're not PG rated.
Not public radio safe. Yeah.
Well, I can talk a little bit about upcoming events.
Yeah.
The other event we have coming up here is our Valentine's Beer Brunch. Happening here on the 19th, Sunday the 19th, at 10 a.m. More of that 10 a.m. beer in the strip.
Well, of course.
Happening.
Love it.
So
that's how one really falls in love. Let's
absolutely.
Be honest.
There's some beer involved. There may be maybe some food too. That's Prohibition Pastries is putting that on here in the strip, and that's formerly Eliza's Oven. So Eliza's been doing cooking and baking with beer,
booze,
beer
yeah.
and booze, and all manner of things for a number of years. Was one of our housemates at the public market, so we're excited to have that here.
Sweet.
Well, I have a couple of events coming up, starting with Thursday, which we have Make Night at the Children's Museum, which
won't be making beer.
You will not be making beer. No, you'll be making little crafts. I saw some of their Instagram feed already, and I love it because it was like a little heart that you sew, and it just says, nope. I just love a good, witty, snarky
Valentine's
term to Valentine's
Day.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to hear this. Nope, done. We also have a wine night at Smom and Galley, which they're going to be combining with Mon Ami chocolates. And if you've not been to Mon Ami in the strip, which mm-hmm. we're seeing
aren't
it
we just
now,
right around the corner
yes,
from it?
We are yeah. right around the corner.
Oh,
so
I know where I'm going after.
Yeah, if anyone has the urgent need for chocolate.
Every day I walk by there on the way to my car.
And have never
and
been.
And you don't go in
oh,
there?
Oh, no, I go in there all the time.
Well, if you want to make your way out of the strip, there's also breakfast in bed at the Mattress Factory on Saturday, and they will be doing just that pretty much with breakfast.
And beds?
Mattresses?
In bed at the Mattress Factory. No beds, sorry, but okay. It was a former Mattress Factory.
I went to the Mattress Factory. I didn't see one mattress. What a scam.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot they get calls, I've heard, that are, you know, can, do you have a mattress?
Really?
A mattress? Yeah.
I need a, like, Sealy.
I need a California King with yeah. a...
exactly.
Extra firm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure
and don't call them and do that.
What a memory
okay,
foam
I gotta make a phone call.
Okay. And then we have a couple other things. Cupid's Undie Run is on Saturday. So if you're listening to this early, definitely want to go to their registration ASAP. But people basically run in their underwear.
I can't commend enough the people who are willing to run in their underwear.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
no
it's
thanks.
Horrifying enough, fully clothed.
Is commend the word that you're looking for there?
Yeah, I feel like that means they have a lot of confidence in themselves.
Balls, or, literally?
Yeah.
Hey,
I kind of want to do one of those and wear one of those like airbrush shirts you buy at the beach that looks
the
like
bikini.
A sexy body. Yeah, I kind of want to wear one of those and just run in it.
I think that works.
Maybe that's what I need as an enticement to do it, is someone to give me one of those shirts with the bikini that I do.
We could get matching ones and run with you.
We also have our friends at Wiggle Whiskey on Valentine's Day are going to be doing a little pairing. I love how, again, I love little event descriptions, but saying that chocolate and roses are a great duo, but pairing chocolate and whiskey is even better. So they'll be doing some pairings down there on Valentine's Day. I also have to throw in cultural reference with the Pittsburgh Ballet Theater. We'll be presenting Alice in Wonderland, which...
Oh, I've seen ads for that. It looks really cool.
It is. So I worked for the ballet for 4+ years. It was my all-time favorite show ever. So I also pick these shows out in terms of like a non-ballet nerd friendly show, and this is definitely it for introducing you to the ballet.
Okay.
So for kids, for adults that may not think, oh, ballet, I don't know, it's a great show to go to. Josh is looking.
Do you consider yourself a ballet nerd?
No, not really. I mean, I appreciate...
Is there a comma in between, or is that two separate, like, ballet person and a nerd person? Or?
I'm a theater nerd for sure, so I appreciate ballet, especially for their athleticism, because those people are not messing around with athletic they are. But I can definitely differentiate the hardcore nerdery of some of the ballets versus like the friendly ballet that you can follow along and be like,
entry level,
I know
ballet,
this story.
More accessible, about not so hoppy.
Well,
session ballet.
This is the Hefeweizen of ballet.
I like it. Yeah, so lots going on this upcoming weekend, and obviously, Scott, you have a lot going on with the beers and the events and the hoppiness.
Absolutely.
Hoppiness all around.
Hoppiness for all.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us over.
Yeah, have
a happy
weekend.
Sure, you guys can come over anytime. You need some more beers? There's some empty glasses on the table.
Okay.
You don't have any plans for the rest of the day.
There will be no empty glasses when we leave.
Right, I can remedy that.
Thanks, Scott.
You bet.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening, guys.
Yes. Okay, bye.
See you later.
Bye, guys.
Problems with police prosecutors and courts dominate the news, and people are asking, is our criminal justice system broken? Maybe, but it's broken in some pretty interesting ways. I'm University of Pittsburgh Law Professor David Harris, host of the Criminal Injustice Podcast. I'll talk with the people who know the system best and hear their best ideas for fixing it. Find Criminal Injustice in iTunes or at WESA.FM.
Pittsburgh.
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 Pittsburgh's NPR news station.
This is 90.5 FM.
WESA Pittsburgh.
Streaming at WESA.FM.